Hari Om. Let's observe 30 seconds of silence and we'll proceed. Om Shanti. Antar inner mona silence. And I presume that all of you would have had chance to practice for the entire week. Only thing I can do, I can inspire you more and more. So, and I presume that all of you must have practiced Antarmona. Bear in mind and remember, it is such a powerful practice because ultimately, no matter what practice we do, whether we are religious or not, whether we are yogi practitioner or not, whether you do some service work or not, but ultimately, we being divine and if that nature is not revealed to us, we'll continue what we have to continue in an illusion that someday, some point in time, I will reach there. We do not know how much our mind is playing tricks with us. And what I mean by tricks, it creates an illusion what we are not. And since it creates an illusion what we are not, it gives us the feeling that our life dwindles between happiness and unhappiness, all depending upon the objective achievement, and as a result, we keep on fumbling to achieve more of the objects which make us happy and get rid of the objects which make us unhappy. Bearing in mind that is it ever going to be possible? More and more you try to do, more and more you try to get rid of the objects which will make you unhappy, it is never going to happen. Because the laws of probability and others keeps the things in balance. But one thing which we forget, and that is not our experience yet, that our own nature is bliss, joy. So we don't have to do anything in order to be happy, in order to be blissful. Let's discriminately use the word bliss instead of happiness, because bliss, ananda, has no antonyms, or there is no opposite word to ananda. Ananda is ananda. Happiness, sukha, there is opposite word, dukkha, unhappiness. So, this practice is very, very, very important. That's why Swami Satyananda has devised this so beautifully, introducing several stages. Stage number one we had discussed, and I will quickly summarize, which is called a three-point awareness, whereby we try to minimize the current expenses to our mind, means all the entry coming in, or with all the five sense organs, reminding ourselves that what I see is with the instrument of seeing, which is our eyes, And whatever I see is the object of this instrument, but I am neither the object nor I am. Nor I am the object of that instrument. I'm neither instrument nor the object, but I'm the seer. And that way you take care of all the five senses. Secondly, the stage number two, we were just closing our eyes, closing all the outside gate, like we try to stay in a silent zone so we don't hear anything, we don't smell anything, we don't eat anything, and we stay at relatively comfortable zone so our body doesn't feel anything, our skin doesn't feel anything. Having had that, then we are just observing our mind. Different thought may come and different thought may go. And mind you, we are observing the thought. We are not analyzing the thought. We are not saying, if I could have done this, I would have done that, I could have done this, would have done this. No could, would, and should. No interpretation. No further action. No further thinking. This is called witnessing. Witness, do not entertain a thought. Just let it come, let it go. Let it come, let it go. And last time an example was given, that of a car. Car on the other side of the our car, we don't pay attention to, and they come and go. But the car in front of us, we pay attention to, making sure that if he brakes, we brake. If he accelerates, we keep enough distance and we drive. But say, for example, that in front of your car, in front of your car, there is no more car, and your lane, being minister's lane, is open. So you're not worried about any car in front of you, but you are just observing the car in the either lane around you. That is called witnessing. That is called non-reactive. That is called no could, no would, no should. That was the stage number two. And mind you, my friend, I am taking a little risk, and that is I'm going to introduce you all the stages, but mind you, this is not an academic accomplishment. You cannot say that I know all the stages of Antarmona. And if you do, then what's going to happen? Somebody else will say, oh, Sailesh, do you know all the six stages? And this is a very difficult subject. I will have to repeat so many times. Okay. Shima's question was that she did not understand, and I understand her honesty. And it may well be true with most of us. We think we understand, but we don't, unless and until you practice. Once again, the point which we were discussing is witnessing. Witness meaning having absolutely no reaction from your end. That the example was given, that of cars on the freeways. If there is a car in front of you and you are driving straight, naturally, your driving will be affected with the performance of the first car ahead of you. But the car on the side street, and if they are driving straight and you have to drive straight, your performance is not affected, and you are not concerned and you are not reactive to the cars on the other side of you. As a result, you can say that you are witnessing the cars on either side of you, whereby you are not reacting to it, you are not entertaining it, you are not saying that come in my lane or get out of my lane or any of those. So to say, we are witnessing it. That is exactly what we have to do for the thought, and this is the Antarmona stage 2, which we discussed last time, in which we have just to simply observe the thought, but spontaneously. Let the thought come and let the thought go. Oh, you are going to the beach, fine. And then next moment you're going to the party, fine. Next moment you're listening to Swamiji, it's fine. But don't analyze that listening to Swamiji is good and going to the beach is bad. And oh my God, I shouldn't have gone there. So should, would, and could, and all other interpretation, all other extension or others extrapolation, interpolation, and reactive to the thoughts is not called witnessing. So mind you, my dear friends, dear aspirants, that stage number 2 is not that also easy. And if you think stage 2 is not easy, just wait until stage 3rd will be introduced today. So, homework is utmost essential. And when slowly and slowly we'll be studying the mind to the fullest extent, a time will come and you can feel a stage which is beyond the mind. And that is when your illusion will go away, and once the illusion is dropped, the real beauty will be revealed. So there is nothing, no other place to go, there is no other scripture to be learned, there is no other practices to be learned, but witnessing itself is the beauty. So that is stage number 2, spontaneous basis, let it be a bad thought or a good thought, but you don't invite good thought and don't say that I don't have to think of it. You just let the thought come and let the thought go. Again, and as soon as your mind starts analyzing, tell yourself, this is stage 2, it is spontaneous, it has to be effortless, so I am not going to react to it. Action is one thing, reaction is another. No activity, just witnessing it. And that too, I will add one more point to it. You are also not the driver of your car. A driver drives it, and you are simply observing the situation. And what I meant by driver drives it, you are also being driven in your natural life, but we don't know. Most of the time, we think that I am the driver. Anyhow, now, very cursorily, very gradually, I'm introducing to the point number 3. Or I'm not even sure, should I even introduce stage number 3. But before even I introduce stage number 3, those of you were with me last time, now may you all turn on your microphone and let me try to understand what was your last week's experience. And don't feel bad if you did not do it. I'm not here to scold you because this is ultimately individual sadhana, individual practice as to whatever you're doing it.